former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting
Welcome
network.
Welcome back into the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM, alongside former NFL GM Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni here at our VSiN studio in Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. Michael, it is a Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for Step Into My Office.
There we go.
You got
on the docket? Who you made appointments with, Stormy? I never check. So tell me who you made appointments with.
I have you loaded with the schedule today. We are going to start off with a certain head coach that just saw his Boston Celtics squad get torched in game three, gone down without a single win so far here in the Eastern Conference Final. Joe Mazzulla steps into the office, Michael. He, of course, replaced Ime Udoka as the Celtics head coach after he was relieved of his duties early this season. Mazzulla's only other head coaching gig was Division II Fairmont State. He got thrust into this position. There were questions in the series against the Celtics if they were to lose that set, if Joe Mazzulla would be fired. The questions are arising once again. Should Mazzulla keep his job after this is all said and done? How can he accelerate his learning curve? If he steps into your office, what's he need to hear?
I think you need, Joe, you need to have a sense of confidence. And I know confidence can only come from experience, which you don't have a lot of. But every time you stand in front of the media or sit in front of the media and you project a lack of confidence, it becomes an erosion of your team. Yesterday you talked about you got to figure it out. Your job isn't to figure it out after the game. Your job is to figure it out before the game. And you can't go to a press conference looking confused and wondering and not answering questions. I'm not saying you should throw anybody under the bus, but I think you need to have a clear and concise answer for why your team played as poorly as they did. And the more you look like a deer in the headlights, the more you look so uncertain, your team can't look to you for confidence. That's the role of a coach. The coach is supposed to solve problems, not look for solutions. He solves them. And you have that deer in the headlight look, and it's not really having your team feel anything. When Marcus Smart comes out and says you're learning, you're basically taking water in your leadership boat, and that's affecting you. And I think the play of your team, the way you've kind of manipulated this into being trying to play this humble part, well, you're a leader. Leaders have to be able to project confidence, and I think that's the number one thing you must work on. I don't know if you're going to get an opportunity, because if I were the general manager of the team, I would have a hard time bringing you back, because that lack of confidence has eroded into our team.
Yeah, and you said it. We saw it in the press conference, looking down, saying this, I didn't have my team ready. That's all I can really say is I didn't have my team ready. How much is this a product of youth being 34 years old? Yeah. It's crazy to think he and Jimmy Butler are the same age. Our guy Elliot shared a stat with us that the last time Jimmy Butler and Joe Mazzulla faced off in an elimination game was when Marquette beat West Virginia in the second round of the 2011 Big East tournament. These two played against each other.
You know, it is. And I you have to fault the Celtics for putting him in. He wasn't ready for the job. Just like I don't think Jonathan Gannon's ready for his job, right? One thing we do with these coaches is we put them into these jobs and we assume they're ready. Shane Steichen, is he ready to handle all the things that come with being the head coach of the Colts? He's a young guy. Do you have enough experiences? Do you have enough sense of history? Do you have enough sense of what it takes to be a great coach, a leader? Those are hard things. And I think this is one of those where Joe got ahead of his skis a little bit here, and Brad Stevens has to accept responsibility for this as much as anyone, because he put him in this job, and he wasn't ready for the job. I would be shocked. I would be really shocked if they brought him back. They can say all the right things, but if they bring him back, I think what they're saying is they can repair him. I'm not sure that's the case.
And I'm not sure why they jumped the gun the way that they did, just because at the time that they did take off the interim tag, yes, they were the top team in the Eastern Conference at the time, but you still knew that all of this team had carried over from last year, a team that made the NBA Finals and were poised to make another run this season. I just don't think it was necessary to do it at the time they did, and now they've put themselves here in a pretty tough position. Okay, from one head coach.
I agree.
Go ahead.
I agree. I think they did that more for theatrics and political statement. I'm not sure he really got a guaranteed contract to move forward. I think what happens is the further you move away from Udoka and you move into the Mazzulla era, the less effective this has become. And I think that's very clear.
from one head coach down 0-3 in their series to another. Darvin Ham, head coach of the Lakers, is our 10:05 appointment Pacific time. The Lakers enter game four down 0-3, a series deficit no NBA team has ever overcome. What does Ham need to do to motivate this group so that they don't roll over in this series as a whole, not only tonight, but if they get the win tonight moving forward?
I think what you have to do, Darvin, is basically show the respect to the uniform. I think that's really critical. I think when you roll over and you don't play like you did, like the Celtics did last night, it affects everybody who's ever worn that uniform. It affects everybody because you're saying this is what we represent. And that's not who we are. I'm not saying we're going to go out and defeat the Denver Nuggets, but we have to show some backbone. We have to show competitiveness. And let me be very clear. If we could find a way to win one game and extend this out to five games, this will help us next season because it'll show us the resolve and the fight. It'll show us that we still have the character to be a championship team. If we roll over, rolling over is a contagious disease. Just ask the Philadelphia 76ers. You can't get rid of it. You can't eliminate it. It becomes part of your DNA. And so you've got to be able to strive to compete. The Latin term for the word compete says stringing together. That's the Latin translation of it. And when you translate stringing together, that means collectively as a group, we string everything together. And that's what I would talk to the team about. Wow, how important it is for us all to compete. And if you don't want to play tonight, let me know. I won't play it. If you don't have the heart of a lion, if D'Angelo, if you're upset, you don't have to play. I'll find somebody else who wants to.
And you know that their leader on the court in LeBron James is certainly going to have that heart and fight and give everything that he can. But after 20 years playing in the NBA, the championship window is certainly closing. So you wonder if a franchise with such high expectations, if they don't get it done now, is this the last opportunity? A team that was pretty close to winning the championship themselves a year ago, but in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's bring into your office head coach Nick Sirianni. We all know about how successful that six-back offense was last season, propelling them all the way to the biggest game of the year. Shane Steichen, who you mentioned earlier, no longer there as he's a head coach with the Colts. So how can Sirianni avoid regression facing teams who are better prepared for the Eagles' unique offense with a full season of tape now for them to scout? What are you telling Nick Sirianni as he steps in?
Nick, the minute we start OTA days, the minute you bring the players back, well, let's stop talking about last year. Let's just stop talking about it. We're obviously going to give out the NFC Championship rings to the players that are currently on the team. We'll send the ones who aren't here. We're not going to have a party. Let's just focus on starting 0-0. Let's focus on the things that we did really well last year in camp, in OTA days. And let's bond that together. Let's bridge those things together because we cannot assume that we're going to pick off where we left off. And I think you have to talk to the team about the Super Bowl hangover that has affected. It didn't affect Cincinnati last year, but it has affected teams. The Super Bowl winner got affected more than the Super Bowl loser last year. But I think you have to educate the team on why it's so important to start over again. The great John Wood, every year, after a national championship, at the first practice, John Wooden would go back over to the team and teach them how to put their sneakers on, how to wear their socks, and how to dress in the uniform for practice and in games. That was he did it every year. You start all over again. And I think that's what you have to do. You forget about the one loss record last year. You forget about the games. And then you have to sit there in your office and prepare your team for what you think lies ahead. How will teams play you differently and what adjustments you need to make?
Michael, why is that challenging for some teams, especially considering, like, you know what it took to get you to this place a year ago? Let's continue those good habits and restart from zero exactly like we did last year. Why is that hard for some teams coming off of the success that they have to do that again?
Well, it's hard for competitive stamina. It's hard for players to do it over and over again. You know, it's hard to prepare for a team that you've beaten so many times. You take them lightly. I don't have to do as much work. I don't have to prepare, you know, when you have to prepare even further. So I think it's just human nature, right? It's human nature that, you know, we got a good team. And then everybody's looking for somebody else to play the role of the winner. Okay, carry us. You do the job. as opposed to collectively we all have to do our job. And unfortunately, what happens in today's era where we are a me generation as opposed to a we, you have to rebrand the team. I mean, it's the hard thing to do. You've got to reestablish the team. You have to make sure everybody understands their role every single year. Culture is not like laying carpet. You just don't put it down there and say, okay, we've got culture. No, no, no. You've got to develop it and work on it every single day. And if you don't, it's going to slide away.
Okay, last one really quickly. Final minute of the segment. Jadeveon Clowney, one of the top NFL free agents still available, didn't have a great ending there with Cleveland. Former number one overall pick. How should he handle the rest of his free agency and regain the trust of another organization?
Well, I think the hard part is, can he pass a physical and can he play in 17 games? I think he's got to be a role player and he should go to a team that he's going to be utilized strictly as a substitute nickel rusher to limit the amount of plays, because I don't think he can hold up for 17 games.
He did tell reporters it would be nice to return to the Houston Texans. So we'll see if that ends up coming to fruition or not. No timetable, though, according to him, on when his signing will be. We're going to come back here, continuing our NFL conversation, Michael, because DraftKings has a number of new NFL season-long specials coming up. Who's got the most wins? The team that'll be the final one undefeated to start 5-0. A lot of different ways that we can attack this NFL season. I think it's cool. And it, you know, it doesn't always have to be win totals. It can be who's going to be – is there a team that's going to go over? Are the Arizona Cardinals going to be that bad? We'll talk it all over in a moment. Stay with us right here on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. If you want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. You can see the changes in all of the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets. And where the money doesn't match the public opinion, you can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting Splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a better year-round. Check out today's Betting Splits for every game at VSiN.com. Stormy Bonantoni and Michael Lombardi with you. In just about 15 minutes, we'll have VSiN's own Mike Pritchard join the program, former NFL wide receiver, now VSiN host here. And we were talking earlier in the show, Michael, about OTAs getting underway. 20 teams today. We got 10 tomorrow. And then the Eagles and Bengals getting started later on next week. But how important this time is for team building, for tone setting, to build a culture. You don't think about the offseason as meeting that much, but it really, really is important for these teams.
It really is, because what's happening is now this is the first time you are collectively bringing new players into your team, and we're calling it a team. Before, it was off-season workouts, so guys were coming in, lifting weights, working with their position coaches. But now we are actually forming a team, and we have to bond that team. We have to get everybody a sense of belonging, because that's part of what we are as human beings. We want to belong to a team. It gives us our inspiration, our endorphins release, and it becomes something that we look forward to. And you have to incorporate the players into this. It used to be in the day, when I first started my career, it was, okay, however you prove yourself before you become a team member. Well, that's not how it's going to work now. So there has to be the job of the head coach is to integrate the players in and have a sense of belonging so that they feel part of the team. And convince them that this is how we operate within a culture. And it starts today. It starts on how you practice, how you prepare, how you are a professional, how you take your job seriously. And I think that's the lessons that have to be transformed into this today. I think this is what we learned from watching the difference between the Celtics and the difference between the Miami Heat. We could say Spoelstra outcoaches Mazzulla, maybe. But the Heat understand what it takes and their roles clearly better than what the Boston Celtics do.
So as we take this core idea and put it into a betting perspective, I mentioned last segment that there are a number of different DraftKings markets up right now for, in addition to season win totals, they have most wins, the last team to be undefeated this season, to start a team 5-0. Yes, obviously schedule is going to play a big part of that. But I think coaches and teams that are better than others at establishing that identity and culture and want to are going to have more of that success faster as well. So are there any teams or coaches that you know are better at doing that in the offseason that can set them up for early success?
I think, the Chiefs particularly, Andy understands how to do that, right? He has a chance. He understands how to kind of work his team in and prepare them for the season. He uses training camp really as an old school methodology. I mean, he's not one of these guys that backs off. They have contact. He stays within the rules. He prepares his team so he can start faster. He can play at a higher level. Same thing with the Buffalo Bills. McDermott, he comes from the same Andy Reid level. You know, the Patriots are going to go to training camp, and they're going to do the things they have to do in all three phases. So those are the teams. I think the ones you have to be worried about starting slowly are the ones that don't really practice. I mean, last year we learned from the Denver Broncos. We could have asked Vic Lombardi. They didn't practice. They didn't have any contact. We just want to keep everybody healthy, you know, and we just want to make sure everything's okay, you know, and then they get to the first real battle. They played nobody in the preseason, and so the team wasn't ready. I think you have to really understand how to get a team ready for the opening day game and how to get them ready for the month of September, because it does impact the season. I mean, the last 5 years, we've seen teams that start well in September end up getting to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. The Chiefs, who you mentioned off the top, and Andy Reid are the favorite to have the most regular season wins at 4-1. They're also the second shortest shot to be the last undefeated team, +850. The Eagles, the favorite there because of the strength of schedule that they have. It's interesting with Philadelphia, their opponent win percentage from last year has them with the most difficult schedule on paper. But when you look at win totals for this season, it's actually 24th, and they've got a relatively easy start to the season as well. For most regular season wins, though, let's look at that one and who you think has the best opportunity to be the regular season leader when all is said and done.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously Philadelphia, because of the teams that they have proven that they can beat. You know, Washington beat them last year. I think the Bengals are a team. I think that North is going to be a little bit better. I think the East is going to be better. Why mm-hmm. Buffalo might not have the most wins. My sense of it is the Chiefs are probably placed right at +400. But, you know, you might want to say, you know, you might want to look at the 49ers. I know their win total went down, but if they get that quarterback thing worked out, they certainly could have the most wins. I mean, basically what we're talking about is, what team do you think is going to have home field advantage, get the number one seed in the NFC and the AFC? Right now it's the two teams that had it last year. Does that always work? No, that never works. You know, if you want to take a flyer, I would say take a flyer on the Bills, and I would take a flyer probably on the 49ers.
I'm looking at the team to start 5-0, and the 49ers aren't even in the top eight of odds for this one. Yet I'm looking at their start of the schedule, which is pretty interesting because, yes, they start on the road back-to-back games, but it's at Pittsburgh and at LA Rams. Then they have the New York Giants, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Dallas Cowboys would be the toughest one of that five-game stretch to start off the season. But I think that could be an interesting long-shot bet as well for the first five wins.
No question. I think a lot of that is only because nobody knows who the quarterback is. Story.
Yeah.
And last year, the effect of losing the opening game in Chicago, understanding the weather was a disaster, but Trey Lance not being ready to go, going through the whole offseason and thinking he was ready to be the starting quarterback. I think that has an effect. I think a little bit of this is again, I think a lot of these numbers are predicated on how you view your coach. What he has. I mean, if you'd have told me the Giants would have started as fast as they did last year, I would have said no, but they found a way to win those close games early in the season, which gave them the start that they needed because their finish wasn't very strong until they beat Minnesota in the playoffs.
And there are a lot of these teams that seem obvious on paper as being contenders for it, but if I'm hauling up my money for this amount of time before I'm able to cash one of these tickets, I want to look a little bit farther down the board. I want to see what kind of fun numbers that we can get. So it's worth it to see what you can find here. Now, we talk about teams that are going to have a lot of success, but how about the flip side of that and teams that are going to be pretty awful? I know that we have felt pretty on par with the bottom of that NFC West and the Arizona Cardinals and the Los Angeles Rams being pretty brutal, the Texans introducing a new quarterback and a new head coach and a lot of struggles as well. fewest regular season wins and last team to finally get a win. Any feelings there?
You know, I got to think, you know, the Rams, the way that schedule starts for the Rams, and if they get to a point where they decide, hey, this isn't really what, and Stafford gets hurt, just say he gets hurt. To me, a 10-1, they could qualify for the, you know, we had, and yeah. You know, we had Booger McFarland on yesterday, and they could qualify for the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. I mean, you know, the Cardinals, we know they're not going to have a quarterback. I think this is all related to your trust in quarterback. Think about this. We have basically, you know, we have Colt McCoy. We have maybe C.J. Stroud, you know, Davis Mills. We have Kyle Trask, Baker Mayfield, and then we have Matthew Stafford. And then we have Sam Howell. Those numbers are all related to the quarterback. They're all related to the quarterback. I mean, the Raiders are 12-1. It's got to be related to win to the schedule because Garoppolo, when he plays, wins games.
Mm-hmm. I'm shocked and I'm disappointed that the prop for will any team go 0-17 is only 10-1. This is something that's only happened 3 times in NFL history, and you're only giving me 10-1?
I mean, seriously, I think that, yeah. I mean, that to me seems – that's one of those where they don't want you to play it, right?
I guess.
Mean, because you and I both know as bad – I mean, when I was at the Raiders in 03, 04 with Archell as the head coach – I mean, we were one of the worst teams. I mean, we won 2 games. I don't know how we won 2. We beat Pittsburgh. I don't even know how we did it. Like, it's hard to go winless. It's really hard. I mean, I think Hugh Jackson might want to write a book on how I accomplished this. It's a challenge.
It is. I'm looking at the numbers right now. The 3 teams, 2017, the Browns, we know, 0-16, the 2008 Detroit Lions. And then you have to go all the way back to 1976 when the Bucs went 0-14. Nobody's done it with the 17-game
schedule.
But
they were an expansion team.
I know.
They were an expansion team.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
With a college head coach. I mean, it was the dynamics of that team was really bad. Hugh Culverhouse, Ron Wolf's the general manager. They hire Hugh Culverhouse's buddy John McKay, and they run a college offense. No wonder why they lost all those games.
And they're only giving us 10-1. Only 13-1 for a team to be perfect and win all 17. Come on, sportsbooks, be better. Give us some fun. Give us the long shot numbers. If you want to take my money, I will give it to you. Just give me a better number for it. That's all I'm asking for. We got to step aside. VSiN Zone, Mike Pritchard will join us next. Get his perspective maybe on who he thinks the best and worst teams will be in 2023.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from each of our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page where you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check out the top VSiN experts leaderboard that's new where you can view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand at any given time. VSiN Pro Picks, Betting Splits, Power Ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for just $9.99. VSiN.com/subscribe. You'll also see plenty of our next guests if you do so. Mike Pritchard, VSiN host and football analyst, former NFL wide receiver. And Pritch, thank you so much for joining us. Michael
yes.
gave his thoughts earlier this weekend with the passing of a true legend and icon of the game in Jim Brown. And I just wanted to give you the floor as well as somebody part of that fraternity and know the impact that he had. If you have any words on the late Jim Brown.
Oh, Stormy, I appreciate you for that. And great to be with you and Michael. You know, the great Jim Brown, as we like to call him in the league, was so instrumental in terms of just – you know, setting the tone, setting a standard. I mean, I think when you're running the football back then in that era and you were a fullback, a lot of people don't understand this. He was a fullback, not a tailback, not a halfback, but a fullback. Never missed a game. The standard was there. And then set it, you know, being an all-pro 8 of the 9 seasons that he played, averaged over 100 yards per carry. He was everything when it came to the running back position. I was a running back growing up too, so instrumental on the field, but probably more so as a civil rights activist And at that time in our history was very, very important, and certainly important to my father, that generation, him, his generation, and him, you know, my dad passing that along to me, along with what that meant and what was going on at that time. So I think Jim Brown was so instrumental as a sports figure in that civil rights movement, more impactful, I believe, for a community standpoint than certainly on the field. But on the field, no doubt he was one of the best players to ever play this game.
You know, it's so interesting to go back and revisit his career. As you mentioned, he was the third running back picked in the 57 draft. He was the first fullback. There's so many Hall of Famers. There were four in the first. Jim Parker went after him, the offensive guard from Ohio State who's now played for the Baltimore Colts. But, you know, when you go back and look at Jim's career, Mike, and you see that in 61, he had 46 catches and averaged 10 yards a catch. Now, this is, we're talking about 61. We're talking about two backs in the backfield, two ends, a tight end. Nobody displaced the coverage. Like, we're not talking about the West Coast offense. We're talking about a back in the, and he averaged, and he played, and he averaged 10 yards a catch. I mean, it was incredible. It's incredible. And the fact that he starts, plays in 118, starts 118, and scores 106 touchdowns. I mean, the durability and the continuing level of play is remarkable.
Yeah, he was a warrior. And you know, we use that word loosely sometimes, I think. But in the game of football, when you know what we go through in terms of our bodies, the punishment, that position, to be called a warrior, that's the ultimate level of respect, I believe. And certainly Jim Brown had that. I mean, it's like Bo Jackson in the wishbone in college, right? That didn't work. That doesn't make sense. Jim Brown, he could play today, Stormy. That's how good he was. And like Michael was talking about, imagine him as a halfback in the West Coast offense or a scat back or something like that as a bigger body guy at 225. He could play those positions as well as line up in I formation, see the field, and be dynamic every bit the way that Bo Jackson was for a brief period of time as well.
And one of those few players, too, to be in the rarefied air of both the College Football and Pro Football Hall of Fame. Jim Brown will certainly be missed, but will live on for a number of really incredible reasons. Here with VSiN's own Mike Pritchard, former NFL wide receiver. When you talk about a guy who set the tone, a theme of the show today with Michael and I has really been about OTAs getting underway and how this is that tone setting time to develop an identity, find out what kind of team you're really going to be fielding once day one comes around. Pritch, what are some of your memories from OTA and how impactful that time is for a team to get started?
Well, you hope that the veterans show up, one, at the OTAs, right? I mean, you want relationship building. And I think like Aaron Rodgers, right? That's a perfect example of relationship building. You think about Jimmy Garoppolo with a new offense or a new team situation, a team that needs a leader. He's a perfect example, too, of a guy who could step right in. I think a rookie like Richardson, right? You know, out there in the Indy, you know, he's got to set the tone, too. So it's different for every level or every team. I think a Patrick Mahomes showing up at OTAs is symbolic, but it's not needed at this point. You know, Joe Burrow, those kind of guys. But I love the relationship building of the newer players, the free agents that have arrived, the young players that have arrived as well. This is the time where you can forge those relationships that carry you through the summer, through, you know, a mandatory mini camp and into training camp too, because you want to hit the ground running in training camp. You do not want to go backwards in OTAs only to catch up again, certainly when training camp starts later this year.
No question. And I think their presence is so important because we are bonding. And a lot of new players coming in. You got to bond with these new players. I'm not necessarily you have to practice with them, but there's a sense of belonging to everybody on the team. And I think it starts now. And I think that team building really begins. So we spent the last block, Mike, messing around with a different look at win totals, right? And so one of the categories we talked about was most regular season wins, right? So who is your preseason favorite to be the number one seed in the NFC and the AFC?
Well, you know, I'll start with the AFC. And this might not be popular, but I like the Bengals. They're sitting here, what, plus 750 here, the most regular season wins. And here's why. I mean, I know a lot of people will use their division against them. They've been okay in their division the last 2 years. They've won 10 games. Last year they won 12 games. I think they're on course to win about 13 games this year. And if you look at the Bengals and how they're built, I think they got better offensively, obviously stronger. They got to stay healthy. Awuzie coming back on the back end as a corner, that's going to help them out. But they drafted up front, the need up front to get a pass rush. I think they've corrected that too. So I think the Bengals are on pace to get to those 13 wins. And those are those Super Bowl caliber teams, right? In the NFC, you know, the Eagles, they look poised to run it back. I mean, I believe they're stronger. I that defense is going to be incredible. The only questions I have will be the coordinator situation. You got two new coordinators now. So Sirianni is going to have to do some good work out there leading the pack that way from the two coordinators, along with that outstanding roster that they have.
Another prop market that I found pretty interesting was last winless team. So who's going to go 0-for for the longest?
Okay, I like this one.
Were there any teams that stood out to you? I know that you and I talked last week when you were co-hosting Lombardi Line with me about your lack of an affinity for the Los Angeles Rams. So maybe it's them for you. But their start of the season might be a little bit easier than another team. So what's your perspective?
Stormy, it's a thesis, and here's why. Because I'm going to build on it, right? I mean, I think from a business decision standpoint, the Rams need to tank. But the Cardinals are right there in terms of how bad these teams and organizations could be this year. Week six for this market, because that's when the Cardinals play the Rams. And both of those teams could be 0-5 at that point, yep. Right? So if we're looking at week six, who's going to go 0-6? Who's going to make that business decision trying to eye that number one overall pick? The Rams, and here's building on my thesis, the Rams have not had a pick in the first round since Jared Goff in 2016. So they are the profile. They fit the profile in terms of a team that needs to tank and needs a quarterback and Caleb Williams moving forward.
I couldn't agree more. That's what made it surprising that, you know, that Sean came back, Mike, because I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I would have thought, you know, okay, Sean's not coming back. They're going to tank. The other team, to me, that needs to tank is Tampa. I mean, yeah. Tampa can't be in one of those situations where they're not going to get it. Because unless we're really wrong, Baker Mayfield is not the answer, nor is Kyle Trask from what we've seen.
I agree with that, too. I mean, I've looked at Tampa. I've even looked at Washington, too, from a profile standpoint of teams. With the fewest wins, the competition for the number one overall pick. And if you have the competition for a number one overall pick, it's going to be about Caleb Williams and those quarterback needing teams moving forward. So all of those right there fit that profile.
The Bucks 9-1, Rams and Commanders both 10-1 to have the fewest regular season wins on DraftKings. Mike, thank you so much for the time today. Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Mike.
And we'll see you back here tomorrow.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. Thank you so much. Have a great day, Michael and Stormy.
Back at you. Awesome stuff from Pritch at MI Pritchard on Twitter. Make sure you give him a follow, doing great things here as an NFL analyst for VSiN. As we take a quick break, Michael, we're wrapping things up. When we come back here on the show, got to get your final thoughts on tonight's game with the Nuggets. I have some feelings for...
I'm sure you do. The Hurricanes and the Panthers. I'm sure you do.
I always have feelings. But will they be the right ones? that is always the question.
Keep it on a roll, Stormy. That's a good thing.
Hockey's been treating me pretty decently, so we'll see if we can keep it going tonight with the Florida Panthers. Is that a tease? I don't know. We'll see.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Plus, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, remember you can convert those BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 different MGM Resorts properties here on the Las Vegas Strip, as well as nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We are wrapping up the show here. Stormy Bonantoni live from Circa Resort and Casino. Michael Lombardi out at his home in Jersey. And as we wrap things up, we got to start, Michael, by re-examining this Nuggets-Lakers game, a potential closeout game tonight in the Western Conference Final. And we have a very similar pro tip today that we had yesterday, where I think it's just smarter sometimes to follow your eyes and go with what the on-court has shown you at this point versus the narrative of a team has to win. That means that they will.
Yeah, I agree. I think to me, we all complain about trends, right? And what we want to talk about here is don't put too much weight in the Lakers not wanting to get swept. The Nuggets have been the better team all series long, but are the underdogs in game four. The Nuggets' will to win is as great as the Lakers' will to not get swept. I think we don't finish the sentence. Everybody says, well, the Lakers don't want to get swept. Well, the Nuggets want to win. Like this mentality that has seeped into our minds based on this, in the NBA particularly, based on this, let's just lose, it's okay to lose, is not throughout the NBA. I think if you just go back and look at Jokic's press conference, and when that newspaper reporter asked him the question, you know, were you surprised you won today when you didn't have to win? I mean, he was appalled by it. I mean, he was very polite, but the facial expression was all you needed to know about the type of person he is and their commitment to playing their best. Will that mean they win? No. But it isn't going to be for a lack of effort. It isn't going to be because, oh, we don't need this one. We're going to take a day off. Like, that is such a loser's mentality that as bettors, if you let that creep into your mind, you don't understand sports.
And it's very similar to what we talked about with Miami keeping their foot on the gas. Like, just because they won those games on the road doesn't mean they're going to come home and feel okay that they won. No, they want to win. They want to prove that they're the better team. And I think the Denver Nuggets are in a very similar position. And the difference being that yesterday we saw a lot of people betting Boston, right? They bet that opening number of the Celtics -2.5 all the way up to a closing number of 4.5. Whereas for this Lakers-Nuggets game that we see today, +3.5 a variety of places. But at DraftKings specifically, we've seen that go down to the 3 with 73% of the handle, 60% of bets backing Denver, and 75% of the handle and bets taking Denver on the money line as well, getting that +135 price. Pro tips available, by the way, at vsin.com. Become a subscriber today to get all that great information. And Michael, I really need that second leg of my money line parlay to come through.
I know. Extend your vacation. Extend your honeymoon. It'll be one more night of the honeymoon. Why not? Keep doing it.
Got to make
it
happen.
You know, we already got your dad to pay for the cocktail hour with upgraded liquor, so that's always good.
Oh, you'll love to see it. But no, I'm excited for tonight's game, and I really am pulling for the Denver Nuggets to sweep the leg, Johnny, as they say. Yeah. What do you think, especially as somebody who you know so much about the game historically, and we talk about the legacy of a guy like LeBron James, who has been playing for 20 years at such a high level, but that window of a championship caliber player and team starting to close down. If they were to get swept tonight, how does that impact the way that you look at LeBron historically in his career?
Well, I mean, look, you know, he's extending himself. He's had like three careers like Tom Brady. So, you know, I think to me, you can't just, I mean, most guys wouldn't even be in this position. They'd be on their couches. And yeah, here he is still trying to play it. And he's playing at a high level. Unfortunately, he's on a team that requires him to play way too many minutes. Remember Tim Duncan at the end? You know how many minutes he was getting reduced in his career because he just couldn't handle the volume. So I really don't think it's going to impact my view on LeBron in terms of how it relates to his greatness as a player, you know, as it relates to how he compares to Michael Jordan. I think Michael Jordan, to me, is always going to be the greatest player I've ever watched play in my life because he did his competitive drive combined with talent was so rare, and it resulted in so many championships. Plus, for Michael, he never orchestrated an all-star team. You know, he just got the cards that were dealt to him.
Yeah, whether it's tonight or another night, it definitely seems like the road is going to end here for the Los Angeles Lakers, teams that are down 0-3 in a set. We said the stat a number of times today, 0-149 in NBA postseason history. It doesn't happen, period. But then again, we've seen LeBron with his back against the wall doing things that had never been done before, being down 3-1 in a series, and they went on to win an NBA championship. So you can never count him out, but it feels like this is the way that things end, and that the Denver Nuggets are going to make themselves earn their first spot in the NBA Finals ever in franchise history, which is pretty special, especially for a guy in Nikola Jokic who deserves all of the positive attention that he's getting right now. Now, Michael, we talked a lot about the Miami Heat as an 8 seed and what they have been able to do against the Boston Celtics. How about the Florida Panthers as an 8 seed, what they have been able to do in the NHL postseason so far? It's been nothing short of remarkable. They knock off the Boston Bruins, follow that up with a dominant series over the Toronto Maple Leafs, and now they start out this Eastern Conference final series against the Carolina Hurricanes in Raleigh at PNC Arena, win back-to-back overtime games, and now they are turning the focus to back home in Sunrise, Florida. I would tell people to shop around for this one, but what I'm going to do here is continue to ride the wave with the Florida Panthers. Have they played their best game in this series so far? No, and they're still up 2-0. Now they get to carry that momentum into their home building, their home rink, with all of the momentum and fans clamoring for what they want to be, a Stanley Cup final appearance. I like the Panthers. I found them here at Circa -105 this morning. Most places, they're a -115 favorite, but I just think they keep it rolling tonight, Michael. They have been so fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting. As I look at the board and seeing the spread of money in this game, is the money line still favors the Hurricanes here. And, you know, you get the Panthers at -105. I think that's a good play. Look, I think the one thing that Thomas Gable talked about earlier in the show is we don't factor momentum into this, and winning is contagious, just like losing. And when you find ways to win, like the Vegas Knights did last night, or like the Florida Panthers have done all throughout this playoff run, that becomes contagious, and you just don't believe you're going to lose the game. Mm-hmm. You have this resolve in your team, and I think we as bettors, we tend to look too analytically at the numbers and see it. Now, my question to you is, would you play the over total? Would you play the over 5.5?
So I think I'm going to keep playing the under. It's gotten through despite each of the previous games going to extra hockey. They've still been under games. The goaltending has been really good on both ends. And Sergei Bobrovsky, this Florida Panthers team wouldn't be here without him. He had 37 saves on 38 shots on goal this past game. He's been unbelievable. And I think that we're going to go under the 5.5 again here tonight. So I like Florida and the under. And with what I'm talking about with Sergei Bobrovsky, Michael, I think it's worth a look for him at Conn Smythe too, because just the different type of a player he's been from the regular season to now. You can get him available 5-1 for Conn Smythe roughly, but regular season he was average at best 24-20-3 overall with a .307 goals against average. In the playoffs, 9-2 in net, .232 goals against, .931 save percentage. The Canes, now because they're down 0-2 in the series, have gone from a favorite to win the Stanley Cup to the longest shot, because the Florida Panthers are just giving this team of destiny type of a vibe. And I think if they do get it done and they win in the Stanley Cup, then he's probably going to be your guy. I just can't
count
it.
That's
fun.
Different than basketball, right, Stormy? That's different than basketball. I mean, they count the playoffs into these awards as well, correct?
Yes, it is their performance throughout the postseason, not just the final series that ultimately garners that honor.
I think that's a smarter play. I think it really is. I think it's a better way, because it talks about your play impacts winning. That was my argument why I don't know why Jokic didn't get the – I mean, he was the number one seed. They had a seven – like Vic said, I mean, he – you know, the guy at the third – was the, they were the third seed. The 76ers weren't the number one seed. Like, they weren't close to being one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think to me, when you can look over the landscape, it helps much – it gives you a better perspective.
I appreciate you indulging me with my hockey talk. You're the
no
best.
No worries. I love it.
And I also do want to caution people, too. 6 straight games for the Panthers that have been decided by 1 goal, 4 of those being overtime games. So maybe, like we talked about with Vegas and Dallas, stay away from those regulation or puck line plays. That's a wrap on today's edition of the Lombardi Line. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Same time, same place tomorrow.